This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Time and presidential turkey pardons happened before the big day, as they always do. So Biden pardoned peanut butter and jelly in his first presidential turkey pardon. Now nobody's going to argue with him about that, right? That's a tradition. Republican, Democrat, don't matter. We always pardon the turkeys, and then we eat them the rest of the week. But I don't know. There's something about that. I looked it up. JFK pardoned a turkey on November 19th, 1963, and said, let's keep it going. And that was the first official pardoning of the White House turkeys. It is a tradition that is kept up, that every single president has done. So how about that? Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I hope wherever you're headed, if you're headed out somewhere, that I wish you the best with travel, safe and sound, that you get there, whether it's through the air, on a train, automobile, or maybe you're walking. I don't know. Maybe you're hiking. You're hiking to your destination. That would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? I'm sure there are some people who are hiking and who are camping on the holiday, because a lot of the parks are still jammed with people depending on what the weather is and where it's located. I love hearing that, people enjoying the great outdoors and the amazing spaces and places that we have in this incredible, incredible country. All right, as we dive into the meat of what we're going to talk about in this show, it includes the fact that the why question is always the worst, right? Why did this happen? Why did somebody do this? Why did we have toppled chairs down Main Street after an SUV plowed through a Christmas parade? Why are we talking about 5 people being killed, 48 others injured, kids who are hanging on by a thread in critical condition, and all they did was hold their parents, grandparents, friends' hand and go to a parade and ended up in this situation? So the why question turns to the suspect, Daryl Brooks, who was alone, and he had left the area of some sort of a domestic disturbance before the cops arrived, and he wasn't being chased by the police at the time of the crash. There's confusion about that. But there's 5 charges of intentional homicide. He'll be in court on Tuesday. He has been charged with 16 crimes since 1999. There are 2 outstanding cases against him, just a little history on him. And the history doesn't matter as far as what happened with the SUV that he drove, allegedly, right into that crowd. I mean, you got kids dancing and happy and drinking hot chocolate and bundled up Santa hats. Just, you know, picture it. And then it, in an instant like that, life turns and it screams and there's crumpled bodies on the ground. And an SUV speeds at a ridiculous rate through barricades and immediately just hits musicians and dancers and really rocks that area. A small community outside of Milwaukee of 72,000 people, give or take. And, you know, the dead were people that were 52 and 79 and 81 years old. One of them was a member of this club that was popular, the Dancing Grannies, and was a bank employee. So just a really, really sad, sad couple of days, I think, for Mayor Sean Riley, who described the parade as, look, this is like a Norman Rockwell kind of type event. And then all of a sudden it's it's a nightmare. So how do you make sense of it? You don't. But what do you do to gather spirits and people together and think of the people that have to bury people, and then those that are hanging on and have children that are in severe situations, dire situations in hospitals? Well, you go to a downtown park for a candlelight vigil to honor the people lost and hurt. And you have volunteers who hand out hot chocolates and candles and all of that. And neighbors get together and they're angry, they're confused, but they're together. And that's what you do. And that's exactly what has happened since that SUV slammed through the barricades and into all of those people over the weekend. Just absolutely shocking. I mean, 18 children, 3 to 16 years old, were taken to a children's hospital, the Children's Wisconsin Hospital, 3 sets of siblings. So imagine that. Scrapes, broken bones, serious head injuries, 6 in critical condition. They shut down the classes for a couple of days. And this parade is held every year on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And it's a big Chamber of Commerce event. It's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. And it was, the 59th one that they had held. So Daryl Brooks Jr. faces charges in connection with this. Like I said, he makes his first appearance on Tuesday. Just a terrible thing, but that why question at this time of year looming big and deep in Wisconsin. And it's interesting because this was a suburb outside of Milwaukee, and we just had what had happened in the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. You know, that all the eyes of the nation were somewhat on Kenosha, waiting to see what would happen there. And then the thought was, well, you know, the National Guard's here in case there's going to be some protests, and we're expecting, no matter what the verdicts are, a protest. But nothing happened in Kenosha, but yet this unrelated, it seems, horrible thing happens just outside of Milwaukee. Wow, wow, wow. All right, the world turns during this pandemic on what's going on with infections, how are we rebounding, and what's happening. Over the weekend, I had a friend that was over from Traverse City, Michigan. That's where she grew up, and she was telling me that her mother couldn't have a shoulder operation because they weren't doing any elective surgeries because the hospitals were jammed in Michigan. And so it is. Michigan's Health and Hospital Association is telling people to take precautions to reduce the spread of COVID-19 because they now have their highest number of hospitalized patients since the pandemic began, saying that Michigan overall, the state, reported 53,000 plus new COVID-19 cases, and it's the highest since the pandemic started in March of 2020. So that's what happens when the hospitals get jammed. People that have other surgeries that are scheduled have them pushed back because they don't have any room. They can't do them anymore. It's like a rippling effect. Here's a rippling effect. Pete Buttigieg, who supposedly could run for president the next time around for the Democrats, even with Biden running, he is the transportation secretary. He said there won't be a vaccine mandate requirement on domestic flights. There's been a push for that. That's what they're talking about anyway. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
A mic drop coming up. So Bitcoin, is it something that's worth getting? Is it real? What is Bitcoin? I walked in somewhere today. I was in a store. I walked into the store and it had and it's near where I live. And it had, it was like a convenience store, and it had Bitcoin. You could turn in your, exchange your Bitcoin. I thought, wow, okay, that's pretty interesting. And I guess there were people that were doing it. It was worth it for them to have this Bitcoin exchange that was set up. And then I read today that NFL star Odell Beckham Jr. is making his own noise in a different way. He always does, but he announced on Instagram that he's agreed to take the remainder of his 2021 salary in Bitcoin. So who gets the better end of that? Does the team get the better end of that? He signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Rams on November 12th. Could be worth $4.25 million. So his total compensation breaks down to about $750,000 salary, $500,000 signing bonus, the Bitcoin. I mean, so what happens? Does he just get, is it stored in the digital wallet? Is it a bag? It's just this direct Bitcoin bag that comes directly from the Rams, and he sees it, and there it is. And I think that's the thing that freaks some people out. It's a digital wallet, peeps. If you figure out how to work your iPhone correctly, of course, you know, there's like an Apple wallet, so it would be a digital wallet, and it would be in your digital wallet. The thing that I want to know is, what's it worth, right? The why. It's the why that's different from the why, the sad why I first cracked open the mic and talked about with that Christmas parade, but the why of, why do you get Bitcoin? Is it worth it? I get the early investors. It completely makes sense to me. If you jumped on it early, absolutely, because you would have made some coin, I'm sure. But when you're somewhere in the middle of the game, and are you holding it? Is it an exchange for something? I think if it's an exchange for something, and it's something you can do, and it seems like it would be worth that gamble, right? Because you're not getting the actual physical dollars that we consider to be the currency right now, right? Because it's backed, we hope. So, although you could argue, how many times have we just printed money, printed? But, I mean, regardless, it is the currency that we use mostly in the United States. I could see then why some of that would be worth. Somebody said, hey, we'll give you some, by the way, we'll give you some of this Bitcoin in exchange for XYZ, and it's part of it. That makes sense. But I still go back to the thing of, I think the more people that get paid in Bitcoin, you'd have to say at some point, right, it's got to be relevant if more people are getting paid that way, because the more, and that's the push. There's commercials with lots of different people that are pushing Bitcoin, and so the more relevant it is, I suppose, the more people are interested in it and they're talking about it, and the more it does become perhaps viable. It's something to watch. It's fascinating to me, completely fascinating. We've talked about this a lot and on this show about, you know, the fact that we have a huge truck driver shortage. And I was reading something about this, and I know someone who's driven trucks for a living, and they were talking about, well, the cost, right? And what is fuel? And are you an independent driver, and what's the future going to look like? And with the whole supply chain crisis that's happening, I mean, you know, we just had a month and a half ago that the main association for the trucking industry said that there's about 80,000 driver shortage, give or take. And of course, 80,000 shortage of truck drivers, that made big headlines. There's even stories about 18-year-olds learning how to drive trucks because they would be economically viable for them. There would be jobs. And truckers say, well, the other side of that story is there isn't a shortage of qualified drivers, that there's plenty of people who have been through training programs and have a commercial driver's license, but it's low pay, long hours, and a terrible industry where they feel like they're just churned out and spit out and the job is grueling. So that it's more of a retention problem than anything else. That, yeah, you can't, if they find something else or they don't have to do this, even though they used to like it, that, you know, this is kind of a lifestyle thing. And if it's a lifestyle thing, kind of job, if you're not getting enough pay, how do you meet that recruitment number? And the American Trucking Association says that the United States has to recruit about 1 million more drivers in the next decade to keep up with demands. How do you keep up with demands? And think about that. Because of early retirements, because of the pandemic challenges. If you had a company that relied on trucking, you would think that would be so high on your agenda. How many times, and maybe some of you haven't done this, but there are these Amazon warehouse centers, right? And you go by them and you see the trucks, they could be lined up for a couple hours waiting to get whatever the haul is and take it away. And Amazon, as fast as they are, and it is incredible. I'll give you an example. I liked my case so that when I dropped my iPhone, it didn't shatter. You know, it wasn't some big expensive case, but I had the case forever and ever, and then finally it was just so frayed it was ridiculous. So the hubs ordered one for me, and he said something about, well, what do you think of this? And just kind of held it up. And I'm not kidding you. From the time that left his lips, it got to my porch in about an hour and 10 minutes. I was like, what? And, of course, it's delivery, right? There's a warehouse, delivery, all that whole kind of thing. And there's sites. There's these sites that you can go to, too. So trucking is essential. That's an industry we still need. I mean, Look, truck drivers get paid by the mile, so, and they're waiting to load their trucks. That's what made me think of the being stuck in a traffic jam or at an Amazon warehouse center. If you're getting paid by the mile, that's big. I mean, if you have, it used to be that, I guess it seemed like they had a big wage, and it was a piece rate wage that looked good at one time, but then it didn't add up after a while. So when you actually broke down your hourly wages and the waiting and everything else, it for some it just wasn't worth it anymore. And you just got to think how many industries rely on trucking. So if the industry wants cheap, flexible labor, they're going to be in trouble, because I don't see how they're going to recruit millions of people at these new hires. I don't see how they're going to get them. There's even a major class action suit that represents like 40,000 drivers that shows some of the arrangements that are out there where people that are driving aren't even really getting the minimum wage, which is terrible with the money lost. Why would you do that, especially if you're renting a rig or whatever it might be. All right, check this out. This just might be a mic drop moment. So I was reading this. I'm a big fan of technology, sort of. And I dove into this column. There's a columnist I like where I'll read what he says on Wired. And he talked about the this Nordic Track treadmill with a 32-inch HD screen, and how you can just exercise, and the whole idea is you can do some work while you're exercising because you have this incredible, you know, treadmill that is souped up and it's got everything right in front of it. And he talked about this guy, J.D. Howard, who wanted to look at these security tutorials. And he's a construction industry worker, and he was on a sabbatical, and he got this $4,000 baby, this sweet treadmill, to be able to do what he's going to do. And he put up his Udemy platform, which is a learning platform, but the treadmill decided, no, we don't like that. So it kept pushing him to subscribe to other things. It was hacked. It was hacked. So the poor guy, he was trying to get his workout in, and he was flying on the treadmill faster and faster and faster, but he couldn't get the app he wanted, eventually sliding off the treadmill and putting the Nordic Track out in the trash. That's a mic drop moment.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. An Illinois Democrat has been blasted for describing the deadly Christmas parade rampage in Wisconsin as karma for the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse and dismissing the tragedy as just self-defense. Mary Lemansky has now resigned from her position with the Democratic Party in DuPage County after her comments were widely shared, and Sommerkamp, the organization's executive director, told Fox News in an email.
Republican Montana Senator Steve Daines implored just one Democrat to oppose the president's Build Back Better agenda that would most impact the poorest in society.
It's as if the Democrats are launching cash cannons of borrowed money across our country. It's going to raise the debt by $800 billion in the first 5 years at a time when we've got inflation. This is a hyperinflation bomb.
This is USA Radio News. President Biden's chief medical advisor, Anthony Fauci, said on Sunday that he hopes COVID-19 boosters will increase vaccine durability so that you will not necessarily need it every 6 months or year.
We would hope, and this is something that we're looking at very carefully, that third shot with the mRNA not only boosts you way up, but increases the durability so that you will not necessarily need it every 6 months or a year.
The chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, has been nominated for another term.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell was nominated for a second four-year term by President Biden on Monday, extending a tenure that began with President Trump. The ex-investment banker is being asked to finish the most consequential revamp of monetary policy since the 1970s. Lael Brainard, the Federal Reserve board member who was the other top candidate for the job, was nominated as vice chair. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Joins us. Her mother wrote these two books, one, The Truth Seekers, and then The Six Women Behind Me. And I have copies of them, and they're fascinating, I have to say. Two very different books, of course. When you look at The Truth Seekers, you know, we're talking about a novel, and The Six Women Behind Me is just such a rich, deep story, a different kind of story. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having us. I appreciate it very much.
So let's talk about your mom first. Sadly, your mom passed away, but she left you with so much besides these books, so many other pieces, I think, of a rich legacy. But she really enjoyed her writing, didn't she?
She really did. That was besides her music and being a pianist and teaching piano for 35 years, starting at age 15. It was her music and her writing and her teaching junior college students that was her life, besides raising the five of us kids.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I talked, you had like a connection to Hollywood.
Yes, I do. My paternal uncle, Hugh O'Brien, his real last name was Hugh Crampy. O'Brien played Wyatt Earp on TV, the TV series. He was Wyatt Earp in the 50s and 60s, plus other movies and plays and things like that. So I kind of grew up in Hollywood on weekends, and then both myself and one of my brothers, Warner, ended up having bit parts in some movies ourselves, including with Angelina Jolie when she started out and Gary Sinise. We made the movie called The George Wallace Story, the story of Governor George Wallace. And so Yeah, so we had a little bit of, my brother and I, a little bit of dabbing in Hollywood ourselves, but it was mostly our paternal uncle, Hugh O'Brien, and my mother was the stand-in for Natalie Wood before I came along. She was the stand-in for Natalie Wood Wagner in the movie called Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean. So my mother was an actress as well.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, Rebel Without a Cause, that's a huge movie. Are you kidding? That's iconic. So she probably had some great stories for that. And so I'm not surprised from that experience that she was able to weave a tale in The Truth Seekers. Tell the listeners about The Truth Seekers. What's it about?
Well, it is a combination of it's a love story. It's got a lot about reincarnation, about people being born again and again to learn the life lessons that we need to learn as we go along. And it actually, the backdrop of that takes place in Europe regarding the Queen's daughter, Margot. She was a real person. The things that are mentioned in the book about what she did back in the 13th, 14th century are true. The real Margot actually did those things. And she was very much in love with a man who decided he didn't want to be with her because she was so cruel and so vicious that he fell in love with another woman. And Margot chases the two of them through century after century, being reborn again and basically trying to get Paul back and trying to destroy the woman that he really loves. And so it starts off actually in Contra Costa County, California. Part of it is based on a true story where my mother met a woman who was a teacher who had a boyfriend, a fiance, that was going through some rather unusual things when he was getting interested in reincarnation. And he, in the real life story, actually ended up in an insane asylum. And so the woman said my mother could take parts of that story and weave it into a fiction herself. So basically it starts in Contra Costa County. The college that it really is based around is Guayaba Valley College, where my mother taught for 40 years. And there's mentions of it through, you know, the cities of Walnut Creek and Concord. So anybody who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area or Contra Costa County will recognize some of the things that are brought up in the book. So she wove some real true scenarios and some scenes and some locations into her book.
Yeah, I love the cover, too. I mean, it's eerie. It's just, you know, you have bats on the cover, and you've got this gray, it looks like a graveyard. There's crosses all on the one side. And it is just so interesting that she pulled that together. And, you know, I think you said this, but she, in her teachings and all the amazing things that she did, didn't she teach? She was a college professor of English until, like, 2015.
Yes, yes. She first started off teaching piano at age 15. Her first student was another 15-year-old girl that lived in Piedmont, Montclair, Oakland area of California. Her parents wanted her to go on to be a concert pianist. They spent thousands of dollars in her piano lessons. She started off with Marianna Taller, which is, that woman is mentioned in the book, is one of the main women that was behind her. Then she went on to take lessons from Fred Satman and from some very well-renowned people. She decided that when she went to University Pacific in Stockton, California, she didn't want to be just a music teacher, and it really upset her parents very much because she said, I'm going to be what I want to be, and she wanted to be a teacher, and that was her life. I mean, she teaching junior college students English, creative writing, and critical thinking classes. That was the other part of her that was so multifaceted.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So in talking about that, that boomerangs into her next book because she talks about so much of that. The six women behind me, Jan Jansen, of course, your mother, who wrote this, and she talks about all kinds of things, including adoption, because you mentioned it, how many kids there were, and, you know, she had adopted, what, three kids in her mid-60s, right?
Yes. I was her firstborn, and then we had three brothers, and then my sister, Marna Leanne Jansen, who my mother wrote her very first book on that one. It was Child in a White Fog. My sister had cystic fibrosis, and we lost her when she was 5 and a half to malpractice, Children's Hospital in Oakland, California. So my mother's book, Child in a White Fog, is basically the beginning of our family story. Well, shortly after Marnie was born, my mother was divorced from my biological father, and she received a letter from a woman over in Vietnam who he had married while he was still married to my mother. And so that story continued on to the book called Paper Bridges from Vietnam with Love by Jan Jansen, Paper Bridges from the Vietnam with Love. And then she went on to write a book of poetry and another book called Choices. But then the last book, which actually ended up being published the week after she passed away, we lost her on the 4th of September. My father-in-law had taken the jab. We lost him August 27th. We lost my mother 8 days later, just September 4th. Mm. And the book, The Six Women Behind Me, was published the week after she passed. And it basically follows the story of starting with Hilda, which is the only woman of the six women my mother never knew. And Hilda McGrath-Smith is the beginning of the story. That's the one that I did 10 years of research for her to write that chapter. And then it goes on talking about her mother and the lessons my mother learned from growing up with a woman that was very abusive. It kind of reads a lot like the book Mommy Dearest, the chapter of my grandmother, Mary Bascom. And then it goes on talking about the other women that influenced her. Actually, Peggy Semple was given my mother when my mother was a year old. My grandmother did not want to raise children. And Peggy Semple actually ended up raising my mother for 7 years full time and became her mama. And then my grandmother remarried her second husband, who said, I won't marry you if you don't get your daughter. She didn't want my mother, but she came back and got her. And it goes on from when my mother was seven until she was 19 and was able to escape and leave that household. So it's a very interesting woven book on the lessons my mother learned and those she didn't learn throughout her lifetime, but these six women who all influenced her so greatly to become sort of who she was.
Yeah, and again, we're speaking with Donis Jansen-Smith, and the book, two books, The Six Women Behind Me, Jan Jansen, her mom, The Truth Seekers, also her mother's other book. What do you hope people take away from both of those books and reading both those books?
The Truth Seekers is a really good fiction book, but for those people out there that do believe in love stories and also maybe believe that we live more than once, they're going to find it's a wonderful book with a historical background. There was a sequel that was supposed to be started. She did the first three chapters. We haven't decided what we're going to do about that, but definitely when you read the book, you see that there needs to be a sequel with that. So I would say that's a really good book, but I wouldn't read it late at night because it's that scary. The Six Women Behind Me, I would take away is that just because there is multi-generational dysfunction in one's family, whether it's two generations or starting three generations ago, that whatever that multi-generational dysfunction is that behind every person there is a spark. There's a God spark. There's positivity. And that just because, your great-grandmother or passed something on to your grandmother, passed something on to your mom or to you, doesn't mean that that has to define you. The buck can stop there. And I think that was one of the lessons she was trying to point out in The Six Women Behind Me, is that just because you were raised a certain way with dysfunction and unhappiness and loneliness and abandonment doesn't mean that that has to define who you are now and in your future.
Yeah. Wow. So well said. The perfect place to end this. You can get the books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Jan Jansen's books, of course, Donis's mother. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your staff, too. They've been fantastic.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We head to the UK to introduce you to Annette Allen, and she's got a couple of books that we're going to talk about. And let's start with this one, An Ethiopian Odyssey, A Return to the Past to Discover My Destiny. I love that title. So, Annette, first of all, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Ethiopian Odyssey. Tell us about that journey and what did you mean by going back? What happened? Why'd you write this book?
Yeah, I wrote this book, I guess, after caring for my mother when she was dying. I was 40. I quit my job to care for her. It was really important. And I've always been very spiritual and have had amazing dreams. And after she died, I started saying to myself, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Money didn't matter anymore, to be frank. Corporate life didn't appeal very much. And I decided and prayed, said, please show me the connections between us rather than the differences, because I really do believe we're very connected as human beings deep down. And after a while, the most amazing things started happening. And my journey began, was inspired by a dream of returning to Ethiopia, which is where I went to school in the 1960s. And I decided I was going to find some of my classmates whom I had not seen for 40 years, which is a long time. Mm-hmm. But what I did was I learned to completely trust the process. So I quit my limiting self-beliefs about, you know, not asking for help, about not sharing my dreams. And I found that by telling people what I wanted to do, which was to help raise funds for water projects, for water aid, everybody wanted to help me. Literally, I would say only 1 in 100 said no. Everybody else just wanted to help. So I turned up at school, at my old school in Addis Ababa, called Nazareth School for Girls. And it was incredible because the first person I met was one of my classmates, Marta, who was still there 40 years later. And Marta was working there as the school secretary. So she looked at the old photo and she pointed out that another classmate, Hirut, Hirut was the daughter of Ethiopia's then president, which again was astonishing. I had no idea of that. And anyway, she came good and she gave me the full name, full list of names. And then through websites, through newspaper interviews, I was contacted by people who wanted to help me find the other women. So I traveled to Germany where I met Fanai. And the thing with Fanai, and I'm really highlighting the incredible connections, she and I shared the same dream. She'd had it in 2000. Well, she had it 2 years before me. So I felt very much this is my right path. And it is a divine path. It's meant to be. It's meant to happen. And for all your listeners in the States, I then went to the States to meet Silva. And Silva is Armenian, but she was born in Ethiopia. And she showed me a photo of a beautiful crown that her father-in-law had made for Emperor Haile Selassie to give to our queen, Queen Elizabeth.
Wow.
In 1958. And that was later confirmed by the Royal Collection. And yeah, so in 10 months, I traveled 25,000 miles and, well, everything I needed was provided. My classmates made me so welcome. And then the book was published and I gave book talks in London and Addis Ababa at my old school, which was such an honor. And then I also gave a book talk in New York, and that was at the United Nations headquarters, which was a real privilege. It was hosted by the Ethiopian ambassador to celebrate the Ethiopian millennium. So it was just, and we raised, you know, a good amount of money for water aid, not as much as I'd hoped. But at the same time, when all these good things were happening to me, then Eric, my dear brother, my younger brother, was becoming really ill with paranoid schizophrenia. And Eric had suffered from depression from the time when he was young. And really early on, probably from the age of 12, he turned to drugs. So marijuana first, and then LSD, and then heroin. And I know many will have had the same problems in their own families. And Eric took his life on Good Friday 2009. So I feel that A Song for Eric, as it's called, is a very important book. I'm reaching out with love and hope, and I hope consolation for every single family going through it right now. I know it's a massive problem in the States. It certainly is here in the UK, and it's a worldwide problem. And, I'm going to be supporting Phoenix Futures. And Phoenix Futures are a great organization where Eric stayed for 18 months in one of their rehab units. And they provide residential and community and family support, and they also work with substance misusers, which is a much kinder word than addicts, in prisons.
Mm.
And my lovely Norwegian mother, Haldis, she actually volunteered in a prison after she retired. She worked in a cafe. So I really feel this is kind of about healing my ancestors and healing the past.
So both books, whether it's An Ethiopian Odyssey, A Return to the Past to Discover My Destiny, or what you just talked about, the other book, A Song for Eric, what do you hope people take away from reading the books?
Well, the first book, An Ethiopian Odyssey, is widely available on all good websites. So what I hope people would take away from that is follow your dreams, don't give up, and that people everywhere will help you if it has a good purpose. Everything that you need is provided at the right time. You know, keep praying. It's a daily process. And that was to raise funds for water projects in Ethiopia, for water aid. A Song for Eric is not yet published. I have an online meeting with an agent on the 18th of November. I hope to bag a really big agent, because I think it's a very timely message for families suffering, those bereaved by suicide especially. And I don't care what form of addiction it is, we all know how our loved one suffers. And I put my hands up here, Kate, because I'm a recovering drinker. I had to admit defeat in 2015, so it's also part of my journey and also my mental health therapy. I go into a lot of detail. I'm being really honest and raw with all the readers. So the takeaway from that book is we can transform our lives, but we have to make that commitment every single day. And I actually provide online support through a great online community called boozemusings.com, which is run by a wonderful American woman, and she's based in Europe. But that's a great resource. So, we need daily support, and I'm happy to give daily support.
There you go. Well, we can't wait for that other book to come out. And again, boozemusings.com, that's a great place to go. Annette Allen, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Kate.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.